Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jerry Jones coming up. You know he joins this station every Tuesday morning here on your home of America's team. Sean Shreve, Mike Fisher in for Choppy. We got Troy, we got Roy, and most importantly, we have you. We need you on the Autoflex Easing Fan Text for this one at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Mike, we are going to play a Cowboys edition of True or False.
All right.
On the storylines at 3-3. Number one, we overrated the Cowboys to start the season.
True.
Definitely true.
Top to bottom. All of us guilty, led by the owner.
Where did you miss, personally? I whiffed on the defense, and then I whiffed on the offense after the first 3 weeks. I was like, this is different. I was wrong. I was thinking to myself, I was wrong about Kellen Moore's immediate impact. I was wrong about Dak's improvement and this major step moving forward. This offense has transformed, and all of a sudden, the brakes got pumped, and I missed on the defense all year long. Complete whiff.
Our enthusiasm about the Cowboys and our intensity about covering the Cowboys, it's a passionate thing. But I think it leads us down this primrose path of thinking that this is the year that everything's going to be great. And Mr. Jones is very influential in that. He's the greatest salesman in the history of the world. So naturally, we buy some of what he's selling. So we buy that Chris Richard is this incredible leader of men.
Right.
And that Rod Marinelli is this incredible leader of men. So you got two of them. We buy that Kellen Moore is the next Bill Walsh.
Yes.
We bought for a minute that
Jason Garrett would just turn his head and let Kellen do it.
Right. And why wouldn't that be okay? Because Jason Garrett was once the next Tom Landry. Jerry comes on this very station and compares Dak Prescott to Tom Brady, and nobody laughs loud enough. They talk about Lyle Collins being kind of like Eric Williams in terms of his nastiness. Eric Williams was an all-pro. Their nastiness might be the same, but no. Leighton Vander Esch is Brian Urlacher. No, he's not. Byron Jones is an all-pro cornerback. Not really. And Cheeto's almost as good as he is. Xavier Woods is going to make us not need Earl Thomas. And on and on and on. Jason Witten isn't just a great tight end, according to Jerry. He's John Wayne. And Tony Romo wasn't just a great quarterback. He's Tom Cruise in Top Gun. That's the hype machine that we all are responsible for, and if this team isn't good, guilty of.
I'm guilty. We're all guilty.
Guilty.
Next one. Jason Garrett has lost this team. True or false?
Nah. Why do they keep coming back? If the team wanted to unplug itself and wanted the coach fired, why wouldn't they stay unplugged after being down 31-3? But they didn't.
Why do they keep getting down 31-3?
Maybe because they're not good enough. Maybe they're not good enough to always be up 21-3, that the other teams are just as good as they are, by and large. But a team that is quitting on its coach wouldn't make miraculous, near miraculous second-half comebacks twice in a row.
What do you think, Roy? True or false on that, that Garrett's lost them? The message is no longer landing.
False. I don't think that'll be the last thing to go for Jason Garrett. And if it ever goes, gone.
Yes.
Like that. The next day, if we ever have true evidence of that, and I don't think the hand slap and handshake game was actual evidence of that. Evidence of that would be someone
losing to the Jets and getting crushed in the first half and getting smoked in the first half against the Packers.
Nope, it would be a player in the locker room speaking out about it would be a player pulling a TO or something to that effect of pointing fingers and saying the offense is wrong, the coaching staff is doing it the wrong way. I don't think we're going to get that, so I think it's false that the Cowboys are no longer listening to Jason Garrett. Autoflex Leasing fan texters weighing in, 817-214-972, all saying it's true that we overrated the Cowboys.
Yeah.
However, there are several people from the 214 and from the 423 saying we are now underrating them because of their current slump. And we're intentionally thinking they're further down than they are because let's face it, the three games they've lost have all been accompanied by significant shots to their own feet.
In other words, they're in the middle. They're not they're not as high as we thought they were, and they're not as low as 0-3 feels.
Right.
They're in the middle.
What's this league again, Fish?
It's a 500 league, and it's designed to be that way, and we're seeing that in action.
And I bet the fan text all agrees that Garrett's lost them, though, because that's a major fan narrative.
Because the people that are tired of
Because the only way to judge it, really, to be fair to the Tolo, the only way to be fair to it, and you really can't know it unless five guys tell you in the locker room tomorrow. The only way to judge it is to see how they come out. They're getting smoked early on. That plays into the not prepared to play.
Right.
And then, you know, the handshake thing. So many people are going to use that, which is silly. But the only way you can judge it is losing to the New York Jets, getting embarrassed in two straight first halves.
Yes.
And that's the only way you can really judge it from afar.
Now get embarrassed in two straight halves in the same game.
I don't care about it. I'm on my way towards the loss. Like, I don't agree with you guys totally. I'm not saying he's totally lost them. I think the arrow is pointing towards losing them, though. Like, for the first time ever in covering Jason.
Oh, I agree that it's closer than it's ever been. And I think he's one loss away. I think that's how
one
close.
Loss away from?
From them potentially, him losing the locker room, but also from him potentially. Jerry said with you guys a week ago, don't put your money on Jason Garrett being out. Well, if they lose this weekend, you might want to consider putting that money in.
They have to get worked.
I think they have to lose.
They're not going to lose 30-27 and get fired.
Correct. A valiant effort in a loss will not get the head coach fired, because the dismissal will come when the team quits. And it should, by the way.
Yeah.
But there's no evidence of that over the course of a decade that his players do that to him. Now, Roy, I don't know if it would be a public locker room tongue-lashing delivered by a player. I think it would be more subtle. I think it would be the Joneses having a conversation with leaders in the locker room, right? Not in front of you and me.
Next true-false for Cowboy narratives. Kellen Moore is being handcuffed.
Nah.
Too much.
Nah. They're in this together. They're handcuffed to each other, as it should be. If I was Jason Garrett and I was in the final year of my contract, yes, I would hire the new offensive coordinator, this bright young mind, boy genius, but he'd be my boy genius, and that's what he was. He'd been here 3 years. He played here. He coached here. He's a Garrett guy.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you were Jason Garrett, and I asked Jason this yesterday, would you seize more offensive control right now? Before this thing sinks and I'm gone without a contract and a safety net, you know, all of our egos tell us we're the most capable of doing the job.
Yep.
Do you seize more control of the offense if you're Jason Garrett, and do you expect him to do it?
He did it last year with Linehan in the final month of the season, but he didn't do it because things were working well. He did it because things were working poorly. So he didn't do it after 3-0 so he could somehow put his stamp back on things. I could see him doing it now, saying, hey, we got to get back to where we were. Let's go reexamine what we were in 3-0. What did we do right there?
Like, that third quarter drive to start the half, to me, in my opinion, I don't know this, Jason Garrett said in the locker room, we are going to reestablish our identity. And our identity is Zeke Elliott and this offensive line. And they came out and they ran the football effectively. They were like, we're going to run it down their throats. We don't care what they do. If they stop us on first and second, we are running it. And that, to me, was a little sign of Jason being like, hey, it's time to go ahead. And maybe he tells Kellen, I want to see, let's get the run back involved here.
And that's his job. And don't think he doesn't also go up to Marinelli and Richard and say, hey, I think we need to do a little more of this, this, and this.
Right.
That's his job. He should do that.
Yeah.
Now, we can get really specific on the two-point conversion and on Garrett, on Kellen Moore, on Kitna, and on Dak. What in the world is a quarterback run into the side of the defense where everybody's waiting?
Behind a backup left tackle.
Does he have the option to change the play? Surely he does. He has the confidence to change the play? I don't know.
We have to figure out how much Dak Prescott is responsible for their run and pass. Because the thought is two plays go in.
Correct.
And if two plays go in, that means Dak Prescott should be responsible for some of the first down early running that we're blaming Kellen and Garrett for.
It's worth an examination. Let's just do it on the two-point conversion because it's magnified and very simple. Am I thinking of the right play?
Yeah, fourth and two is where Dak ran left.
Okay, I'm sorry, yeah.
Not the two-point conversion. Okay. It was a fourth and two.
So does he have options? Does he recognize the options? Is he making the right choice? Is he being given the right choices? If he goes a line of scrimmage and it's a play call designed for a quarterback sweep to the left, and seven of the guys are on that side of the field waiting for him, surely he's got a play to get out of that, right? So have they given him the play to get out of it? Is it the right play? Does he know it? Does he know what he's seeing? Is he going to be a different quarterback intellectually 3 years from now than he is now? The last one answer is definitely yes.
Next one. Tank Lawrence got paid and disappeared. Let me ask, before you say something. You covered Charles Haley.
Yeah.
We've seen Bruce Smith, Reggie White, Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack. They get doubled, okay? All those guys always get doubled and still make plays here and there. Tank Lawrence, Mike, isn't even on the television. He's not even on the screen. If you didn't see him in the intros, you wouldn't know if he was deactivated. Now, I know there was a double-team stat earlier on in the season.
35% of the time, more than anybody in the league.
So that has to be factored in.
That's a factor.
And those other great players have also been doubled throughout their careers, and they're all better than Tank Lawrence.
I definitely think...
Being too harsh for you?
No. I'm trying to make sure I say it just right. He has not gotten fat and sassy, if that's what anybody thinks. Now I'm paid, and now I'm... don't have to do anything anymore. There's no way it's that. That's not him. Just not him. The double teams are something. The injuries surely are something, although he doesn't want to hear about it. But doesn't this go back to the overrating possibility? What if Tank's just really good?
Yes.
And you're talking about your Charles Haley, Khalil Mack.
Right.
Bruce Smith. Maybe it's our mistake to put Hall of Famers in the same breath with 27-year-old Dallas Cowboys who've had two really good years.
Great point. But last year Tank did have 10.5 sacks. Right now he's got 2.5.
And goes hard every play and chases down the run and plays against the run. I think maybe this coaching staff, defensive coaching staff, needs to play him more snaps. I think the rotation of your best players, including Tank Lawrence and Robert Quinn, replacing him with not your best players a lot might be a mistake.
You know someone else who has dodged any heat, any criticism? Who was the breakout player this year heading into the season?
Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods. We turned him from training camp into freaking Ed Reed.
Yep. Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas.
He was so Earl Thomas-y that we didn't need Earl Thomas.
We didn't need Earl. Where's Xavier Woods been?
He's not going to the Pro Bowl.
No, he's not. And then the linebackers, the other true false. These guys are lost, both of them out there. Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith. How do you explain that?
And again, I'm not scared to say what we think the truth is. I'm trying to
Well, I'll tell you the truth. Jalen and Van Der Esch are both lost.
Okay.
They're both lost, and we tremendously overrated Xavier Woods.
As you know, I talk to Jalen Smith every day.
Yeah.
So I try to think what he might be thinking.
About a sunglass line? That's like going to be a narrative.
Sure, it will.
To focus on business. That's what happens when you lose.
Van Der Esch has his mizzen and main.
Yeah, stop making Kellen Moore commercials.
That is, and it's a stupid meme, but it's coming.
Right.
Absolutely. What if we just thought too much of him? The comp on Leighton Van Der Esch was Brian Urlacher. Why? Because he's tall and white?
Yeah.
It's too much. Leighton Van Der Esch, I think Leighton Van Der Esch will end up being a really good NFL player, and I think the same thing about Jalen Smith. But there's a difference between really good and Brian Urlacher. There's a difference between really good and Earl Thomas. In defense of us and the Tolo,
even the professionals do this. Brian Broaddus will tell you that first training camp for Malik Collins, he thought, that's Warren Sapp.
Right.
I don't think I'm misquoting him. That guy's that's a Pro Bowler. Well, Malik Collins isn't a Pro Bowler. He's just good.
All right, so there it is. Cowboys edition of True or False. Man, that was pretty depressing. When we come back, Fish In for Choppy, we'll get you a weather update. What happened to the Stars? What happened to the Cardinals? What happened to the Lions all last night in sports? And no more meals as this Dallas institution is shutting down. All of it with Sean and RJ, Fish In for Chop on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Metroplex. It's a Tolo Tuesday. Sean and RJ, Mike Fisher in for Choppy. And we got word. Now, I know what's going to happen here on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. You're going to think that Jason Garrett's getting fired here. I don't believe that's the case. No. Jerry Jones is on a flight right now to Fort Lauderdale, and it's landing a little later than expected. So Jerry is going to be on today with Ben and Skin. It looks like.
I'm not sure. He could join us anytime between now and 10 o'clock.
Jerry is coming up.
So make sure. Yeah, you keep it here. You download the radio.com app. You can fast forward and rewind as much as you want to, just in case you miss it.
Yeah, Roy wanted me to just keep teasing it for the next 90 minutes for the tune in. But we're being told owners meetings, league meetings, I should say, league meetings in Florida. And it looks like he's going to land right now about an hour late at 9:40, but he's not dodging. He's not chopping Jason Garrett's head off. He's going to go on Ben and Skin if he lands that late.
Yeah, you texted me and said, Jerry not able to come on, flying to Fort Lauderdale. And I thought, that's not how you spell Norman, Oklahoma.
For old Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
I can go on a rant about that another time. So Ben and Skin probably going to have Jerry on today. Hopefully he lands early. And we can keep him. But you can see Jerry when we send you to Arlington on Sunday. Roy has Cowboys-Eagles tickets for the heavyweight fight.
Yeah, that's right. We are going to be out in Grand Prairie today at the Albertsons off North Carrier Parkway, 215 North Carrier Parkway. There's a family four-pack giveaway. 7 to 12-year-olds can register to win a family four-pack of tickets. We'll give away two of those, one at 5 o'clock and one at 6 o'clock. So come on out to Grand Prairie, the Albertsons at 215 North Carrier Parkway to try to win Cowboys-Eagles tickets, Sean.
And October 26th, it's Fanniversary, celebrating 10 years of DFW Sports Station.
Woo!
Texas Live, free everything. Cowboy cheerleaders, mascots, Stanley Cup champions from the Stars, Chris Woodward, Jalen Smith, Charles Haley, all of us going to be partying it up. Free entry at Texas Live, October 26th.
My God, 10 years we've been on the air. And you know, Sean, when I think back, you know, to you and I 10 years ago when we were here on this radio station together, I mean, what was your favorite memory 10 years ago, Sean?
Man, we're gonna have to have a full segment of this next Friday.
But 10 years ago, where were you?
10 years ago?
You weren't here.
No, I was in Kansas City.
Were you doing country radio as Sean the Sheriff?
That was about 12 years ago.
I swear, if someone can provide me that tape, I will give you any amount of money my wife gives me in my next allowance.
Yeah, the station that I was at had four different stations. I worked on the sports one, but there was a country one, and they needed me for a week to fill in as the country, the country DJ.
Coming up next, Clay Walker.
Sean the Sheriff.
Did you have any idea what you were doing? Just push a button?
Oh, my God. Music DJs, don't get me on this rant.
Uh-oh.
Don't start me on this rant with these crooks that are on FM music stations.
Oh, JT from Jack FM.
Oh my gosh, what's it called when you tape it all? It's
pre-recorded
music term. something track.
Like automate. Oh, oh, voice track.
Voice track.
Yeah, when you voice track.
Voice tracking. Crooks stealing money. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I don't want to get into a rant on that.
All right.
Monday Night Football. I will get into a rant on this. The Lions got screwed.
Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here's the snap. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good. It is good. Mason Crosby to the south end zone for a Lambeau leap. And he puts a dagger in the Lions. The Packers have won it 23-22.
Man, I was rooting for the Lions big time last night. Now, Aaron Rodgers had his receivers let him down. He was also playing without Davante Adams. Geronimo Allison gets banged up, but Aaron Rodgers made some big-time throws. But Detroit controlled that game, and they got screwed on some calls. And we'll get into replay here in a second, but the calls are Trey Flowers with two hands to the face. They're really inside the shoulder pad. And then there was a helmet-to-helmet, which the Lions are not happy about. And Detroit, I just think they deserve to win that football game. Instead, the Packers are 5-1 winning at Lambeau. You were always against replay?
Yeah.
Or
I had, remember the late, great George Young, the general manager of the New York Giants,
yeah,
who was the big power behind it. This is like 1995, and I had him on my show, Fish for Lunch, and told him like to his face how wrong he was. Told him where this is going to go. I said, Mr. Young, you're worshiping at the altar of a TV screen. It's a piece of glass. A piece of glass isn't a referee. A referee is a referee. And nobody listened to me.
But why at that time did you not think, well, we can get it right and we have the technology to do it. Let's get the call right. Let's not screw teams over.
Because
Let's
I'm
not rob teams.
Because I'm familiar. First of all, because you haven't, I didn't think it would solve robbing, and it hasn't. Teams still get robbed.
They do, but why didn't you think so?
Because
Did you think they'd get the technology wrong of looking at a replay?
Because I've looked at photographs that appear to be like in criminal stuff. Boy, that guy sure looks guilty. Then you realize, oh no, it's just the angle of the camera. Boy, that guy sure looks like he's a bad guy. No, it's just because the picture's in black and white and there's a shadow on his face. It's a piece of glass that goes through a tube that goes through a cord 3,000 miles away. It doesn't know. And Dean Blandino watching TV doesn't know what a catch is any more than Sean Sharif does. And if the two of you guys were sitting together, and this happens every Sunday, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman do it every Sunday. Joe goes, boy, Troy, that looks like a catch to me. And Troy says, well, let's look at another angle of it. There's no way that's a catch, Joe. And how did either one of them know they're right?
What do you think the negative effect of replay has been?
It's caused football to be a sport that gets talked about on Thursdays about last Sunday's call.
And isn't that kind of good for the league?
Wouldn't it be better to just talk about the players and the coaches and the fans instead of knowing the names of the referees?
I don't know. Do you believe in there's no such thing as bad publicity? Doesn't Jerry, people tell us, love that we just did a segment on Cowboy true or false on all their problems?
Maybe so. But don't you feel ripped off as an NFL fan if they're secretly rubbing their greedy hands together saying, we don't care if we got the call right. Sean and Fish are talking about it today. And we're going to get ratings out of it. And we're going to sell t-shirts out of it. We're going to get revenue off of it.
But the original premise was going to be, I would feel robbed if they messed up the blatant call without a replay reversing it.
But look what's really happened.
They're still messing it up.
In 1988... nobody lingered forever. I don't remember what call the 49ers got screwed on in 1988.
Didn't have social media, too. That is magnified.
Correct.
It.
But they surely got screwed on a call, and they talked about it Sunday, and they griped about it Monday, and then we got on to the next week. I'm telling you, as somebody that refereed a little bit and umpired and stuff.
Oh, back in his day.
That's
back,
a bit.
Back in the day.
What a great bit.
The close, like a close call at first base, if it's bang, bang, and I call you out, I will let you argue. You get to argue because it was close. If you're out by 3 feet and you argue, I'm about going to throw you out of the game because you're a moron.
Can you eject me? Give me the ejection call.
Okay, I'll tell you what I once did in a basketball game. The coach came out on the floor. He's out on the floor in the middle of the game yelling at me. And I signaled to the thing. I stopped the clock. I said, Coach, I'm going to give you a technical foul for every step it takes you to get your ass off my floor. And it was hysterical.
Did he crawl off the floor?
He took two big leaping leaps. Instead of taking four steps off the floor, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
He took two, so I had boom and boom. Two tees against the coach that came on the floor. So the official to me needs to have control, but he's a traffic cop. I don't want to know the traffic cop's name. I just want you to know if it's green, red, or yellow.
Did you think that the referee was out of line for the Garrett abusive language flag?
I did. I still don't know what Garrett said.
Right.
What is the magicest word that you can say that would allow you, that you can hear, that would allow you to penalize a guy for yelling about something that you know he's right about, or you later found out he's right about?
I've always thought, I think it was a bad decision by the ref because of what is always said in those moments, right? But I've always felt bad for NFL refs that they get to get berated.
Yeah.
Versus baseball and basketball, where basketball, we know you get teed up quick. Why has there been no technical fouls in football? You know, can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. And in the other sports, you can't call me a worthless piece of garbage trash with MFs thrown in it.
One of the problems with penalizing guys for language is, how do you know the difference between Garrett yelling MF and yelling UMF?
Yeah.
Because there's a difference.
You're right.
My old rule was, I would throw you out if you accused me of being lazy. If you said, Fisher, you were out of position on that call, I would throw you out in baseball.
Wow.
Because you're accusing me of not trying at my job.
So did you give me the call and say, you're out of here?
It depends. Sometimes I just had a little thumb and said, you're gone.
All right.
I'm not trying to make a big show.
All right. Last night,
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't make it.
It's not about me.
Yeah, bingo. I buy that.
You created the baseball umpire. He's the original Joe West. Is it Joe West? Who makes it about himself?
Yeah.
And Joey Crawford?
Oh, my gosh.
Last night, the Lions lose to the Packers. The NLCS is over. The Nationals in Strasburg dominate the Cardinals. They'll have game four today. Also, game three at 3 in the afternoon. What are you doing, Major League Baseball? Yankees, Astros with Garrett Cole on the mound. For some reason, they're playing that at 3 o'clock. And the Stars get blown out by Buffalo 4-0. But Troy is really shedding a tear for no more pasta.
Yeah, that is true. See, Sean, there was a time in which when you went to downtown Dallas, you would go to the West End. And back then, and by I mean back then, I'm talking about like the 90s or so, you could take your friends to Planet Hollywood, get some Captain Crunch chicken. Then you would go next door to the all-basement arcade and play video games. Or maybe you want to go to the Palm, have a nice dinner, and then go to Bar Dallas and drink it up. Well, those four places are gone. But there's one place that's been there ever since. One place that's been there for 47 years. That would be the Spaghetti Warehouse.
Oh!
That has these gigantic meatballs, has like a subway car right in the middle of the restaurant. It's been there forever. And it's only going to be there till Sunday because the Spaghetti Warehouse in the West End will close its doors on Sunday.
Amanda, yesterday when this came on TV, she's like, oh, that's like the one place our family would like let us go.
Yeah.
So I mean, is this like the original Olive Garden?
This is like where everyone went. Now, there are other Spaghetti Warehouse. The one that's in Arlington will remain open, but there was one in Plano that closed. The one in Mesquite that closed. This is the one that you would always go to for parties, or as for me, a date. Back in 2002, I asked a girl if she wanted to go steady with me. And so the next day, we had lunch there, and that girl's now my wife. We're going to go have dinner this week there.
You're going to do a Lady and the Tramp spaghetti noodle thing?
Yeah.
What high school guy that grew up in Texas in the past like 20 years didn't take a date there?
For real?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Fish, you ever been?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This one location.
Yeah, it's got a trolley in the middle of it. It's not like a bus or anything, but it is a trolley that you can kind of
like
run
dim sum.
Up in. And,
yeah. Like I said, there's some other location.
Dim sum meatballs.
The Arlington will remain open, and that's fine, but it's not like the gigantic warehouse that is the Spaghetti
Troy
warehouse.
Hughes, we triple dog dare you to reenact Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, my God, he'll do it.
And you will go super viral.
His wife...
Dude.
We'll do much more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Lady and the hoe.
All she has to do is suck spaghetti in this particular case.
Now, you're going to go.
If a noodle's available.
You're going to go before they close?
Yes. We will be going Thursday night.
Oh.
May do a fan hang. We'll do a fan hang.
A fan hang. Spaghetti Warehouse. All right, when we come back, Again, Jerry Jones on a flight right now to league meetings. He is going to come on the station today. Hopefully we get him before the end of the show, but right now it's looking like Ben and Skin. Was this LeBron's biggest mistake ever? Next. Mike Fisher in for Choppy here on a Tolo Tuesday. All right, I really do want to have a LeBron discussion with what he did last night. He really stepped in it, and he eventually deleted what he said. We're going to get into that on the Autoflex Team Fan Text, but we just got this audio sent to us from the Talking Cowboys podcast, and I'm being told it's Brian Broaddus versus Mickey Spagnuolo?
Yeah, a lot of people are upset over what happened on Sunday with the Cowboys and the loss. And, of course, Mickey will join us during the 9 o'clock hour, which is also the same time in which you have your first opportunity to win $1,000. So Broaddus and Mickey are talking about various things that happened during that Cowboys-Jets game, including the fact that Dak was being hit a lot in this game. Or was he?
Dak Prescott got hit more times in that game and harder than I think I've seen in his entire career.
Well, and just
he
like
was
did you
getting blasted.
Did you watch the game again?
I absolutely did.
What hits did he take other than the two? I saw three. The twist stunt that Connor Williams, they missed that one. He got blasted on that one. The boot and waggle was the one. He was outside the pocket that he really got.
And how about the two-point conversion when the guy blitzed and came through free?
That's right there on – that to me is on the call.
I don't care what it's on. He got hit.
Well, it's – you know, they've got to make a play.
I understand.
You know they're going to sell out.
He tried to hang on to it as long as he could.
You know they're going to sell out.
I don't care. He got hit.
I don't think you watched the game the right way.
Well, I did watch the game the right way.
I don't think you watched the right way.
Well, I absolutely did watch the game the right way. Maybe you didn't watch it because you weren't there.
So you're the point on
I watched this morning, Mickey. I don't think you did.
Were you there? He dropped the there on
him. Hit him and were you there?
Mickey Fisher. All right. I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Oh, no, you're not. I side with Mickey on this one against my boy. From this standpoint.
Ooh.
From this standpoint.
No more crawfish boils at Sean's house.
You're cut off. From this standpoint, the debate was, and I'm real big, ask Roy, on sticking to what the debate is. Let's not go off tangent. The debate was the amount of hits Dak was taking. Broaddus and whoever else was on there started taking it to the play call. So that wasn't the point. The point was the amount of hits. Now, I do have to leave Broaddus this out. He does rewatch all the games more than I certainly
More than anybody.
More than anybody.
In the media, by far.
So there's no doubt he was watching that game.
I would leave. Well, he watched the game. My point
Maybe
is.
You didn't watch it because you weren't there.
He didn't watch it right.
He didn't watch it right. My point is, Broaddus rewatching it maybe saw Dak getting hit less than what we saw live the first time. Because live the first time, I agree with Mickey. It looked Dak was taking hits. He was getting punished. He was getting crushed. Maybe it didn't appear as bad on the replay. I did not rewatch it. But Broaddus does. And that's why
maybe you didn't watch it the right way.
Maybe I didn't watch it the right way, but I got to side with Spagnuolo on this one a little bit.
I don't think we need to speak for Mickey or Brian. They both come on the station. They'll speak for themselves. And I think we can have some fun with this conversation. I think Broaddus's point, and maybe this got lost in this, is that the offensive line isn't to blame for all the hits because a lot of the hits came outside the pocket. I think that's part of what Broaddus is trying to say. I think the passion of those guys is great.
Yeah, I love it. It's entertaining. People always get mad, or they used to get mad at Choppy and I for being, you know, going at each other sometimes. I'm like,
no.
If we're not going to go at each other and it's just going to be boring, kiss-ass radio, then I'll go find something else to do. If we're guys, we argue, debate sports at 5 or 6 o'clock
and then
bar.
Hug it out.
Yeah, and then hug it out.
It's the old Bugs Bunny cartoon with the sheepdog and the coyote.
Yeah.
Hi, Fred. Hi, Barney. And then they punch the clock. You ever see those?
Good
that cartoon?
Reference.
How
and then they go,
that?
Then they go kill each other, trying to kill each other. And then at the end of the day, 8 hours, they go punch the clock. Night, Barney. Night, Jim.
Just business.
It's just business.
You should see us. If you think we argue on the air,
woo!
And Troy doesn't even see this when we go on trips.
Yeah.
Oxnard.
Yeah.
In the house, at dinners. It's insane. Let's hear it one more time.
All right. Mickey and Broadus. I'm going team Spags on this, I think.
Okay.
Dak Prescott got hit more times in that game than I think I've seen in his entire career.
Well, and just
he
like
was
did you
getting
watch,
blasted.
Did you watch the game again?
I'm asking. I absolutely did.
What hits did he take other than the two? I saw three. The twist stunt that Connor Williams, they missed that one. He got blasted on that one. The boot and waggle was the one. He was outside the pocket that he really got.
And how about the two-point conversion when the guy blitzed and came through free?
That's right there on – that to me is on the call.
I don't care what it's on. He got hit.
Well, it's – you know, they've got to make a play.
I understand.
You know they're going to sell out.
He tried to hang on to it as long as he could.
You know they're going to sell out.
But I don't care. He got hit.
I don't think you watched the game the right way.
Well, I did watch the game
I don't think you watched the right way.
Well, I absolutely did watch the game the right way. Maybe you didn't watch it because you weren't there.
So you're the point on
I watched this morning, Mickey. I don't think you did.
That's so good.
Okay, can we try this one more time? If you're Broadus, I think you do get to say, if he disagrees with you, maybe you watched the game the wrong way.
No. The point is, how much punishment is Dak taking?
Versus who was responsible for all the hits Dak was taking. That's a separate point.
It's a separate point.
Right.
So if the topic is Dak punishment, Broadus taking it to wrong play calls, offensive line and stuff, that's not the discussion. Now, where Broadus, I thought, had him in the beginning is when he's like, I rewatched it and I wrote down three hits only. Because if you asked us right now before we played that, how many hits did Dak Prescott take on Sunday? I would have said
eight.
Eight. He got pile driving in the ground eight times. Well, Broadus saying, I only really saw three vicious ones, and that's where I would be scared to argue with Brian unless I rewatched it, which Mickey did. But in the game, it seemed like, you know, six to eight hits.
I think Brian would probably like to take back and redo the definition of the hits and whether or not that was the real topic. And I'm sure Mick would like to take back, well, you weren't actually at the game.
Oh, man. Does he not give us the Mickey Fisher lines? Were you there? He just delivered it.
According to the box score, he was hit eight times. Exactly, Sean. So your thought process of, at least according to the box score, that's what they registered the Jets having registered.
Which doesn't mean Mickey's wrong about the viciousness of some of them.
Yeah, I thought he got beat up. We all did. I mean, we all think he got beaten up badly in that game. On the Fantex, the props for Dak in that game, when we were talking about leadership, the Fantex said, whoa, maybe Dak isn't yelling and screaming at guys on the sideline. Maybe not. He showed leadership.
Yeah.
He got his ass busted, and he kept coming back.
He wobbles into the blue tent.
Yeah.
Wobbles out and says, give me a football.
That is leadership, too.
Yeah.
That is also leadership. All right, who's the Fantex giving the victory to?
I would say it's about 70-30 on the side of
Broadus.
Mickey Spagnuolo.
Oh!
From the 972.
Play his boxing music. Troy, play his Rocky music. Never mind. No Rocky this week. Go ahead, Roy.
From the 972, totally agree with Sean. Therefore, I regrettably agree with Mickey. From the 817, unfortunately, I'm with Sean. A couple people saying, not so kind things to say about Mickey here, that Mickey instigated this argument and therefore he should be the one punished. But,
fun radio debates all the time.
Those are so fun to listen to, but it's not you being a part of it.
Broadus just texted me, happy to help with your content today. And Broadus a call. That's the thing about Brian. He'll like even respect that I'm taking Mickey's side on it. All he cares about is being a straight shooter on it. He'll call me before Jerry interviews, and he'll be like, are you going to ask him this? He's a big boy. He can handle it. Straight up ask him the tough question. So Broadus just wants the straight truth on it. So that was fun. Spagnuolo will join us at 9:20 this morning, but we need to talk about this. You think that taking my talents to South Beach was the biggest mistake? No. LeBron last night could have made his biggest mistake ever. We'll talk about it. Maybe Jerry Jones calls in during the final hour. It's Sean and RJ, another hour on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or
I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.